Blog Talk Radio.
Shalom Aleichem, Malche Asharet, Malche
looking at the nation, suicide, genocide, homicide. Three words come to mind, times are changing, yeah. No more rumors, there are wars going on. Twisted doctor, scientists making clones. Economy got some backs against the wall. People dying for no reason at all. People of God don't even read their Bibles. There's no faith, no trust in the Word. But everybody seems to be quoting Scripture. It's just another word they heard. Pastors leaving pulpits 'cause they're tired. It's all based on how we feel. I overheard two people speaking the other day. One said that God's not real, but I'm just one of them more people who's got a hold on. Sometimes I can't see, but I still believe He's taking care of me. Oh, I'm just one of them old people God's got a hold on. And I believe, yeah. I believe, yeah. So I'll choose to look on the brighter side, in spite of all the negativity I'm surrounded by. No, it ain't perfect, but that's alright. 'Cause His hand is on me and He's keeping me alive. So many disappointments, so much I don't understand. So much I don't have answers for. That's what makes me trust You more. In a world that's always changing, everything's rearranging. But no matter what's going on, I'ma be standing, I'ma be holding on. Your truth, their truth, my truth. Yo God, my God, our view. All I know is one thing nowadays, is we all need hope, we all need faith, man. I'm just one of them old people who's got a hold on. Sometimes I can't see, but I still believe He's taking care of me. gotta hold on. Don't you let go of me, Lord, please. I believe, I believe. Yeah. Oh, I'm just one of them old people who's gotta hold on. Sometimes I can't see, but I still believe he's taking care of me. Yes, he is. Oh, I'm just one of them old people. God's got a hold on. I believe.
Good evening, Israel family and listening audience. Welcome to another session of Can It Be That Simple? I'm your host, Yara Al of Beth Yahweh Congregation in Baltimore, Maryland. Like always, I'll advise everyone to grab your notepad, your iPad, your pens, your pencils, your highlighters, your good study Bible, your concordance, all those things that you would need for a really good study. If you can hear me, send out a text letting me know that you can hear me clearly. And like always, we'll start off with a brief prayer. Hallelujah, hallelujah. We thank thee for thy son, Yahushua, our Lord and Savior, Redeemer, and soon coming King, for all he has done for us, all he will do for us. We thank you for protecting us course of this week. We thank you for the lessons and the blessings that you allowed us to have throughout the course of this week. And we thank you for allowing your son's name to be on our tongue as we give you glory and give you praise through him. Father, we ask of thee to continue to protect our loved ones from danger seen and unseen. We ask of thee to continue to help us to overcome the obstacles that we are faced with. We ask for thee to continue to strengthen us in your ways and in your truth. And we ask for thee, O Father, to sup with us as the Sabbath approaches and open our minds to the wonders of your word and allow our tongues to speak the truth of your word and allow our hands and our feet to walk and to work diligently in your word, securing ourselves in the full armor, making sure that it's secured, making sure that we are taking on that character of Yahushua, which is that fruit of thy spirit. We thank thee for your love once again in the name of Yahushua, our Lord and Savior and Redeemer, and soon coming King. And Father, we also thank you for forgiving us for the sins that we have committed against you, both knowingly and unknowingly. Amen. Blessed are you, Yahushua, our mighty one, King of the universe, who has sanctified us with his commandments, took pleasure in us, and with love and favor gave us his holy Sabbath as a heritage, a remembrance of creation. Blessed are you, Yahushua, who sanctifies the Sabbath. Amen. I repeat, I'm your host for the night, Yara Al, and just another session of Can It Be That Simple? And we're going to continue on the topic, and the topic is, how do you find a people who do not understand they are lost? This is part four. And the subject matter of this particular session is a sober mind, being sober-minded. Because we want to be sober and how we interact with people, humanity. We've learned about being empathetic. We've learned about being compassionate. And we've also learned about being forbearance or long-suffering. But we don't want to be manipulated and mistreated because we're taking on these characters of Yahushua and dealing with people who we already know are wicked and don't want to follow sound doctrine. And one thing that we can do is we can look in the mirror and remember how we used to be before the Most High opened our eyes to the wonders of his son, Yahushua. And this is what we're going up against. But we want to have a sober mind. And this is the definition we're going to be using. Whenever you hear something in regards to being sober-minded, keep this definition in mind. Sober-minded means that we do not allow ourselves to be captivated by any type of influence that would lead us away from sound judgment. Let's keep that in mind as we go through tonight's lesson. And I'm going to do something slightly different in tonight's lesson. Normally I would, when I come across a word, I would give the definition. I'm just going to give the number today so that, things can flow a little easier. And, you can look the word up and see what it means and see how it relates to the subject matter, which we'll be talking about tonight, and that is being sober-minded. So we're going to start off in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse, and it reads, "For there shall be a time when they shall not bear sound teaching, but according to their own desires, they shall heap up for themselves teachers, tickling the ear, and they shall indeed turn their ears away from sound, from the truth, and to turn aside to myths. But you be sober," and this is our first word, sober, and that is in your Greek lexicon 35:25. "In all matters," I'm going to start over, "but you be sober in all matters, suffer hardships, do the work of evangelists, accomplish your service completely." So we're going to stop here for a minute. So we as believers, we as teachers in Yahweh's word, but ultimately we as believers, when we are dealing with others, we have to also be mindful of the hardships that will come, the obstacles that will come from the different people that we come across and their doctrine and their understanding about this word. Like, one of the things that, one of the introduction songs we had today, it made a statement in it saying how we live in a time where people don't even believe in the Bible. We live in a time where people don't even believe that there is a mighty one. And so that's how come they can get caught up in so much foolishness out here. But we also understand why they're getting caught up in foolishness. So from here, we're going to go to Psalms chapter 60 and verse 3. And it reads, "You have let your people see hardships. You have made us drink the wine of trembling." We have to understand that Yahweh has allowed his people to go through hardships. Why? Because of their disobedience, because of their lack of faith in him, lack of faith in the leaders that he had put in front of them. The second part of this scripture. Oh, I'm going to read it again. "You have made us drink the wine of trembling." That's what comes with that hardship. Trembling, fear, unstableness. From here, we're going to go to Jeremiah chapter 25, verse 15 and 16. And it reads, "For thus saith Yahweh Elohim of Israel to me." Well, let me stop. Let me slow down. "For thus saith Yahweh Elohim of Israel to me, take this wine of wrath from my hand and make all nations to whom I send you drink it, and they shall drink and shake and go mad because of the sword that I am sending among them." We have to understand that these things that are happening to us and to the world are all happening because they are Yahweh's will. Jeremiah chapter 51, verse 6 and 7. And it reads, "Flee from the midst of Babel, each one, save his life. Do not be cut off in her crookedness, for this is the time of vengeance of Yahweh, the recompense he is repaying her. Babel was a golden cup in the hand of Yahweh, making drunk." I'm going to stop here for a minute. The word drunk in the Hebrew lexicon is 7937. "Making drunk all the earth. The nations drank her wine." That is why the nations went mad. We want to go to the term wine, which is 3196 in your Hebrew lexicon also. So from here, we're going to go to Revelation chapter 18. Verse 4, and it reads, "And I heard another voice from the heaven saying, come out of her, my people, lest you share in her sins, and lest you receive of her plagues." So we have to understand that there was a period of time in which the Father allowed us as Israel to be amongst the world and taking part of the wine of Babel and seeing the doctrine. Because when you get into understanding what wine is, you know, wine has if you drink too much of it, it makes you foggy. It makes your balance off. It makes you make poor judgment. So one of the things we have to understand that what happened in Babel, or this cup that Babel possessed, it was a particular doctrine or a particular way of life that humanity took part of, and humanity became drunk and unstable in the way that they were living their life, and they were going contrary to the ways of Yahweh. And as we know, Israel is Yahweh's people, and Yahweh's people got caught up in it also. But as we read in Revelation, he calls out to her, to his people, and telling them to come out of her. And that's where this whole line of thinking is, or being sober-minded, because we have to sober up in this world system and getting rid of this world system out of our psyche. Because there's a scripture that talks about us renewing our mind. And how we renew our mind, we've talked about it before. It's in Psalms where it talks about how does a young man cleanse his ways? It's through the word of Yahweh. How do we sober up? It's through the word of Yahweh is how we sober up. Because what are we doing? We're cleaning ourselves up. We're detoxing from the world when we take on Yahweh's word and allow his word to fill us up. From here, we're going to go to 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 6. And it reads, "And these matters, brothers, I have applied to myself and Apollos for your sake, so that in us you might learn not to think beyond what is written, So that none of you be puffed up on behalf of one against the other." So in this particular scripture, I stopped at the word puffed, and that is 5448 in your Greek lexicon. And we're going to stop here for a minute, because this is where, you know, one studies the word and he formulates, some of us formulate opinions about what we think the word is. But based on this scripture right here, he said, no, we don't go beyond what is written. We don't go beyond what is written. And if a man has been chosen, he's going to speak by inspiration of the Holy Spirit that dwells within him, that he communes with, because that's how the Father communes through Yahushua with humanity. So he's telling us, don't get puffed up. Don't get puffed up, because all the knowledge that we possess is his, and it is he who has given it to us to share with others so that we can help them to be sober-minded, to help them come out of Babel, to come out of her, come out of this world system. So from here, we're going to go to Isaiah chapter 51, verse 21 and 22. And it reads, therefore, please hear this, you afflicted and drunk, but not with wine. Thus saith the Master, Yahweh, your Elohim, who pleads the cause of his people. See, I shall take out of your hand the cup of reeling, the dregs of the cup of my wrath. Never again shall you drink it. So we have to understand that the Father, he's taken this cup from us, and he's given us his Spirit so that we will no longer be drunk again. But we have to choose that. We have to choose that we want his cup so that we won't be walking around not knowing. But in essence, some of us do know what we're doing because we're choosing to continue to drink from that cup of reeling. We continue to stay in this system by choice. But what is he telling you? He's telling you, don't drink of it. I'm going to take it from you. But sometimes we as individuals, we run back out there to that system because we have not fully converted to his ways, because we have not been patient with his truth. See, we live in a society where things are microwaves. We live in a society where everything is at our fingertips. So we're bombarded with a lot of foolishness. Why? Because we have it at our fingertips. Whereas in time past, you know, people didn't mingle as much. And if they did mingle, they, you know, we look at the time of the scriptures, they had to walk everywhere or ride animals everywhere. Like in our day and time, we can catch a plane, train, automobile, and we can even catch a boat. They called boats back in biblical days, or no, we're still in biblical days, or aforetime. They called boats. From here, we're going to go to Obadiah, chapter 1, verse 15 and 16, and it reads, for the day of Yahweh is near upon all the Gentiles, as you have done. It shall be done to you. Your reward shall come back on your own head. For as you have drunk, for you have drunk on my set-apart mountain, so do all Gentiles drink continually. And they shall drink and shall swallow. And they shall be as though they had never been. And what comes to mind is when we're talking about the Gentiles, when they start drinking of the goodness of Yahweh's truth and start understanding the goodness of Yahweh's truth, they're never going to be the same. They're going to be able to understand just like we understand. And that's one of our purposes We have to we have to demonstrate the ways of Yah to the people, to our friends, our families, and ultimately to the world, because that was Israel's purpose, to be an example to the world, to humanity. And as we understand what Yahushua did, he laid his life down for humanity. For humanity. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 6 and 7, and it reads, "For this reason, good news was also brought to those who are dead, so that whereas they are judged according to men in the flesh, they might live according to Elohim in the spirit. But the end of all has drawn near. Therefore, be sober-minded and be attentive in the prayers." 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8 and 9. "Be sober. The devil walks about like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. Resist him, firm in the belief, knowing that the same hardships are experienced by your brotherhood in the world." So we have to understand that Satan is after everybody. He's after everybody. He's after the believer. He's after the non-believer. And when I mean non-believer, those who don't believe in Yah, those who don't believe in Yahushua, those who don't believe in the Torah. He's after all of those. And what is he doing? As we read in the top, in the beginning of the scriptures, he's giving them a doctrine of that tickles their ears, things that they like. You know, but that word causes us to be like a lion also in his truth. And that way we can defend ourselves against him. Titus chapter 1, verse 7 through 9. And it reads, "For an overseer has to be unreprovable as a managing one of Elohim, not self-pleasing, not wroth, not given to wine, no brawler, not greedy for filthy gain, but kind to strangers, a lover of what is good, sensible, righteous, set apart, self-controlled, clean to the trustworthy word, according to the teaching, in order to be able both to encourage by sound teaching and to reprove those who oppose it." And this is talking about a teacher. And that's ultimately what we as believers are. We're all teachers in our own right. But some teachers have been chosen, and they have a closer relationship with Yahushua. Because they have been chosen by Yah. But these people who have been chosen to teach the people also teach them so that they can also teach others. So we all have to be sober-minded. We all have to be not givers into wine. Because as we know, this is, you know, wine causes us to, our behavior to change, causes us to make poor decisions, which could lead to brawling, which could lead to being greedy for filthy gain. You know, this wine could cause us not to be kind to strangers. And then it could cause us to be lovers of things that are not good. Because in our poor state of mind, we might take something that is not good to be good. If we take too much wine in, it may cause us to have poor self-control. If we take too much wine, it might cause us not to trust in Yahweh's word. It may cause us to say something wrong in regards to his word, and someone take it as being true. So we have to be sober-minded. We can't, you know, we can't be all willy-nilly with Yahweh's word. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 34. It reads, "Wake up to soberness, righteousness, righteously, and do not sin. For some do not have the knowledge of Elohim. I speak this to you to your shame." And see, Father, just, you know, open my mind up to, you know, because we have many people that's out here who say they know the word of Yah. They say they know the word of the Torah. They say they know the Bible. And they speak in it in shame. See, because they don't have a relationship with Elohim. They don't have a relationship with Yahushua. And in order to have a relationship with the Father, you have to have a relationship with the Son, who is Yahushua, who is that word. From here, we're going to go to Titus chapter 2. We're going to read verses 1 and 2, and then we're going to read verses 6 through 8. And bear in mind, all this is to point to having a sober mind in conjunction with being empathetic to people and in conjunction with being compassionate, in conjunction with being long-suffering. And it reads, "But you speak what is fitting for sound teaching. The older men are to be sober, sensible, sound in belief, in love, and endurance. Likewise, urge the young men to be sensible. Show yourself to them an example of good works in all matters. In teaching, show uncorruptness, seriousness, soundness of speech, beyond reproach, in order that the opponent be shamed, having no evil words to say about you." See, believers, this is what we, this is what sound doctrine gives us. See, we supposed to be an example for those who see us. Romans chapter 13, verses 10 to 14, and it reads, "Love does no evil to a neighbor. Therefore, love is completion of the Torah. And do this knowing the time that is already the hour for us to wake up from the sleep. For now our deliverance is nearer than when we did believe. The night is far advanced. The day has come near. So let us put off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk becomingly as in the day, not in wild parties and drunkenness, not in living together in indecency, not in the fighting and envy, but put on the Master, Yahushua, Messiah, and make no provisions for the lust of the flesh. This is soberness, family. Numbers chapter 23, verse 19. Mighty one is not a man to lie, nor the son of man to repent. He has said, and would he not do it, or spoken, and would not confirm it. I went here because the Father led me another way in dealing with this soberness. See, Yahweh doesn't have to lie, and he's not going to lie, because he's not man. As we read before in the scripture, he said, my ways are not your ways, nor my thoughts and your thoughts. So he has no reason to lie to man. But what he has done with us, Israel, and those who believe in his son, Yahushua, and stand firm on his commandments, this is what he has done for us. John 17:17. He set us apart. That's what he has done. And how he set us apart? In his truth. And what is his truth? The word is truth. But now I'm going to read the scripture. John 17:17. It says, set them apart in your truth. Your word is truth. See, and that's how we become sober. Because we're sober in his truth, in his word. And as we know, the Father only created one thing, and that was the word. And we as humanity, we are interacting with the word in various means and various ways. And it's through us studying the word that we understand how we are interacting with the word. We've learned that we've interacted with the word through Yahweh Elohim. We've learned that we interacted with the word with Yahushua. We've also learned in some other ways. But however, that word is truth. Because that word came from the Father. And it's because of the word that we even exist today. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 16. And it reads, for who has known the mind of Yahweh? Who shall instruct him? But we have the mind of Messiah. Understand that, family? Listening audience? Yisrael? We have the mind of the Messiah. Do you believe that? Do you believe that? And if you believe that, it's all right to renew your mind and get rid of those old thoughts. Because you want to do the will of the Father, just as Yahushua did. He did the will of his Father. And if we have his mind, then we're going to do the will of Yahushua, which was the will of his Father. We're going to take on his character, demonstrate that. In times of trouble, we will remember the persecution that Yahushua went through. And I think it's a scripture that talks about how he went through this persecution and he uttered not a word. He didn't get caught up in his feelings, because he even realized, talking to my wife today, and, you know, and it's fitting for this particular moment. And she said that, you know, Father brought to her mind how Yahushua didn't pay attention to the things of this world. Why? Because he knew he was just passing through. And see, that's what we have to realize. we as believers, those whom Yahushua has chosen. We're just passing through. We don't have to make our stake here in this world system because we have a greater thing. We're just here for an example for those to see. They too can get on the bandwagon. Just like when you look at the story of the Exodus from Egypt. Everybody that came out of Egypt wasn't of Jacob's lineage. Everybody wasn't. That's why he said a mixed multitude came out. Because they seen what Yahweh was doing, that strong arm of Yahweh and what he was doing for Israel at that time. See, in our time, that's what the nations are going to see. They're going to see how the strong arm of Yahweh is bringing us up and out, allowing us to endure the hardships of this world system, speaking righteously and showing love to those who don't show us love, empathizing and showing compassion and long-suffering for those who really don't understand. But as we talk to them and lead and guide them back to Yahweh's word so that they can see for themselves the wonders of Yahweh's word, the wonders of Yahushua, so that they too can partake of those things. From here, we're going to go to 2 Timothy chapter 3. We've read this scripture many times, 16 and 17, and it reads, all scripture is breathed by Elohim and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for setting straight, for instructions in righteousness, that the man of Elohim might be fitted, equipped for every good work. See, it is Yahweh who breathes these words into our mouths, breathes his spirit into us, so that we can do by his word, at the same time cleansing us, creating a new spirit within us, so that we can have the mind of the Messiah, so that we can do that good work and bring people closer to that truth. As we talked about before, the different types of occupations. Yeah, I'm gonna continue to go back there because sometimes we have to till the ground, we have to break things up in people's minds, and then we have to plant that seed of Yahushua. Sometimes we got to lead and guide them. We got to break them down. We got to, you know, dealing with a shepherd, breaking that animal down, making him conform. So now he can listen to your commands when you speak to him, being that good shepherd. As the scripture says, my sheep know my voice. You know, and we've read the scriptures where he said he divided the sheep from the goats. They're both types of cattle. But one has horns. The goats have horns. And we've learned over the years that them horns are used to buck, rebel. But sheep don't rebel. From here, we're going to go to 2 Timothy. I think we're still in the same chapter, I believe. Nope, I'm going to the next chapter, chapter 4. I'm going to read verses 15 to 17. And it reads, you, too, be aware of him, for he strongly opposes our words, at first, at my first defense, no one stood with me, but all forsook me. Let it not be held against them, but the Master stood with me and did strengthen me, so that through me the preaching might be completely accomplished, and that all the Gentiles should hear. And I was rescued out of the lion's mouth. See, we have to understand that when we out there speaking and talking about the Most High, talking about Yahushua, we might be by ourselves, physically. But it's our faith in Yahushua that upholds us. And we know that he is standing there with us. There's a scripture that says, through our weakness shows his strength. See, when we understand that we can't do anything without him, then that's showing that our true humility. We are humbling ourselves to the will of the Most High. When we understand that our strength doesn't come from us, our strength comes from him, that spirit that dwells within us, which is Yahushua. And as we talked earlier, that Hasatan is like a roaring lion seeking whom he can destroy. See, Yahushua is that ultimate lion tamer. We can use this, you know, the story of Daniel, how he was thrown into the lion's den. It was Yahushua who shut their mouths up so that he would not be a meal for them. See, even the lion listens to Yahushua. Even Hasatan listens to Yahushua, because Yahushua didn't already beat him up. He didn't already tame them. And this is the last scripture. These are the last scriptures for tonight. And just remember, family, it's all about having a sober mind and not getting caught up in all this microwave stuff that we have available for us. Because everything we take in is not good for us. And we know, if it doesn't match up with the Torah, then we know it definitely ain't good for us. First, we're going to go to 1 John, chapter 2, verse 1 through 4. And it reads, my little children, this to you, so that you do not sin. And if anyone sins, we have an intercessor with the Father, Yahushua the Messiah, a righteous one. And he himself is an atoning offering for our sins, for ours only, but also for all the world. And by this we know that we know him, if we guard his command, his commands. The one who says, I know him, and does not guard his commands, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. So family, that's my last scripture for tonight. Just wanted to drop a different thing in there. Well, the Father opened my eyes to sober mind, being sober-minded, because he doesn't want us to be foolish with his wisdom. He doesn't want us to be beguiled because we're trying to be righteous. We don't want to be manipulated, because we're still human. But he wants us to be sober-minded. He wants us to have the mind of his son, Yahushua. We want his mind to be in us. Because you cannot manipulate Yahushua. Yahushua cannot be deceived. He knew what they was going through. He could read people. And see, and that's one of the things that we, you know, once you look into being empathetic, you'll learn how to read people, read their body language, read their words, read their emotions. When you become empathetic, and then you show your compassion because you understand where they are. You can read the things that is not being said, and you can help. And that's, at the same time, you can understand and be long-suffering with them. Because, you know, everything is not a quick fix as we travel with Yahweh and travel through his word and travel through this thing called life. We're all going through the process of changing. As we read earlier, come out of her, my people. For all have been touched by the wine of her fornication. The whole world is drunk, but he wants us to be sober. So that's why he wants us to come out of her. And he wants us to cleanse our ways with his word, because he has set us apart so that we can take in the truth of his word and allow his son to reside within us. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. We thank you, Father, for all you've done and all you will do. But we ask of thee, O Father, to continue to give us the strength to endure. May we endure the fortitude of Yahushua. May our minds be strengthened in Yahushua, so that we can overcome the works of the flesh by utilizing fruits of the Spirit, and an armor for war, which is Yahushua. Because we're in a battle day in and day out. We ask of thee, O Father, to continue to assist us in standing on your word in our conscious mind and in our unconscious mind. We pray in Yahushua's holy and precious name. Blessed are you, Yahushua, shield of Abraham. Blessed are you, Yahushua, who resuscitates the dead. Blessed are you, Yahushua, the holy power. Blessed are you, Yahushua, who sanctifies the Sabbath. Blessed are you, Yahushua, who restores his presence to Zion. Blessed are you, Yahushua, the beneficent one. Blessed are you, Yahushua, who blesses Yisrael with peace. Shalom, Yisrael. May you all have a peaceful slumber. And may Yahweh continue to bless you through Yahushua as you slumber and enjoy this Sabbath day. Shalom.
Here we go again, Israel. A lot of Israelites is going back into the world, you know. I can't figure it out. I mean, where you gonna go? Where you gonna go after you heard this truth?
I've got a question. If you leave the truth, where can you go? 'Cause there ain't nothing out there.
the last, this is the last, we're living in the last days. This is the last, this is the last, we're living in the last days. This is the last, this is the last, we're living in the last days. This is the last, this is the last, we're living in the last days. Ready or not, he still will come. He must fulfill his promise. His will be done. And there's no one that can stop it. If I were you, I would seek the most high for the truth. So many will be gone, but they only choose a few. Be careful of all your deeds. You are the light to your enemies. You were given the responsibility, so stay away from my idolatry. Look up in the sky, can't you see the sign? This is the last, this is the last, we're living in the last days. This is the last, this is the last, we're living in the last days. This is the last, this is the last, we're living in the last days. This is the last, this is the last. Be the first to stand and worship you in spirit and in truth. Every day I will repent and die daily. No matter how hard it gets, I choose to endure. Cause this is a spiritual war. If I were you, I would seek the most high for the truth. So many will be gone, but they only choose a few. Be careful of all your deeds. You are the light to your enemies. You were given the responsibility, so stay away from my idolatry. Look up in the sky, can't you see the sign? This is the last, this is the last. We're living in the last days. This is the last, this is the last. We're living in the last days. When he gets here, you can have all the money in the world, it won't help you in the last day. You can't get away in your fast car in the last day. He knows where you are, no matter where you hide. Last day. Your degrees in philosophy.